Today's sit-in is brought to you by Omaha's Water Store. Yep, Omaha's Water Store. You get the good, pure, clean drinking water that they have at the Omaha Water Store, and you'll help build your immunities, bring you more energy, handle stress, and help balance your body pH, too. They're just north of 103rd and 4th. You can go get a free gallon of fresh water there and join the club. You just tell them Boomer Radio sent you. All right, Boomer sit-in today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's the big stuff.
It's the big stuff today.
Who do you think you are?
Mr. Big Stuff. Who do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff?
You're never gonna get my love.
Mr. Big
Not
Stuff.
Because you wear.
It's Tom Becca on the Boomer Radio Network.
Good to be here. Thank you. Yes, I'm a very, very big man. Very, very, very important guy. Yes, yes.
He's important. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
I'll tell you.
Tom Becca, it's good to see you.
Good to see you again, Jack. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, we haven't seen each other for a long time.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
You know, the last I thought I'd seen you. I've seen you on Fox 42. Mm-hmm. But the last I really heard, you were up in South Dakota or doing something.
Okay,
like that.
So here's what happened. Okay,
yeah,
so
what happened? What happened?
Okay, so I lose my job at KFAB, and couldn't work things out at the time over at COIL, you know, the K car at the time.
Yeah.
And there was a station up in Fargo, North Dakota. They kept they offered me a job, and then who wants to go to Fargo, right? I told them no.
Well, unless you're from Fargo.
Yeah, but. That's it. When I was up there, it was like I was the only person in Fargo that was not related to somebody else in Fargo. I mean, it was, I kept telling them no, and they kept throwing more money at me. And then finally, it was like I'd be an idiot not to take this job because
right. They
wanted to put an FM talk station on the air up there. All right, so I went up there. I was going to be the program director, put an FM talk on the air, and I get up there. We put it on the air, and then all of a sudden, there's no money for anything. I can't hire another staff. I can't do this. He sold the station out from underneath me after 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, the nice thing was, is that in the meantime, I'd worked out a deal where I was doing a part-time gig over on COIL, you know, doing talk over there with from my house up in Fargo.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was on the air and here in the afternoon, on the air up there in the morning.
Yeah,
so,
love technology.
Yeah. It was a wonderful thing. So mm-hmm. It worked out well. And then when they sold the station, I had a nice little buyout in my contract. So I came back to Omaha, worked at COIL first full time and did that for a while. So yeah, so I've been, you know, I started off in radio in Green River, Wyoming. And I've worked Green River, and I've worked in Kansas City, and I've worked in Albuquerque, and I've worked in Santa Fe, and Greeley, Colorado. So you know, it's the
what I say to people for anybody that's been in broadcasting as long as you and I have,
because
we've been at it for a long time, that you could play Scrabble with the different call of the just call letters of the stations we've been at, but you'd need a lot of W's and K's. But
you could do it. I'm not sure I remember all the stations.
I know. The resumes look like somebody Scrabble board all messed up. Let's start at the very beginning of Tom Becca's life.
All right. Yes.
You were born where?
Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yes, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of cool. It was nice because we lived in a lower middle class neighborhood in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
and my dad. I mean, this was sort of, you know, the American dream of that time, I guess. My dad, World War II vet, you know, lower middle class neighborhood. He was an insurance salesman. Worked himself up the ladder. Matter of fact, he was a salesman in Cleveland for Mutual Omaha. But then he worked himself up the ladder, got a job, nice promotion with another company. And then we moved to the suburbs, Upper Arlington, Ohio.
Oh.
The suburbs of Columbus, Ohio.
Ah,
so
there you go.
So I went from playing kick the can in the streets to organized tennis lessons, you know, and it was like, what the hell? In hindsight, it's been a good thing because I feel that I can relate to a lot of different people this way.
Yeah. How old were you when you left? Did you go through high school, all the way through high school in that area?
No, junior year of high school, I went to Benson.
Came here. Okay. Before we get to that part of your life, then, what did mom do?
Yelled a lot. She yelled. Told me, why were you born in a barn? And then, you know, she was basically a housewife, you know, for the time. Yeah.
What part of the? So she was home.
Yeah.
And you said dad was in World War II. What branch of the service did he serve in?
The Navy.
And what theater was he in?
Europe. Yeah. Matter of fact, a cool thing I was able to. I was able to go to France a few years ago, and he always wanted to go back, you know, yeah. And that and my mom hated to travel, so he never made it. So I took, and my dad had passed by that time, and I took some of his medals from World War II, and, yeah. and I buried him in Omaha Beach, you know. So it's sort of a, you know, yeah, he was very proud of his service. He was a past commander out of the American Legion Post 1 here in town, mm-hmm. and he was very proud of his service, but much like that generation, he never talked about it.
No.
You know, I never really knew what he did in the war, except for one time I took him to see Saving Private Ryan. And by this time, you know, he's an old man, and, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm not all that young myself anymore.
Was he able to watch it, or did it?
Yeah,
it
he watched. He watched it, and he started to open up to me about it on the ride home. I'm driving him home, and he started opening up about friends of his that didn't come back, or, yeah. you know, yeah. stuff that he saw. And it was so weird, because if it was your dad, I could talk to your dad about it forever,
right?
But to see my dad open up like this and being so vulnerable and so human, it was just a really weird feeling, you know, because he'd never done that. Was that
his wish to have his medals buried in Omaha Beach?
I just thought it would be a way for me to just symbolically say, Daddy came back to visit. Yeah.
Was he there at that time?
He did not in Omaha Beach.
Not during D-Day?
No.
No, okay. All right. Well, oh, man, that's a great story.
Yeah, though. But anyway.
A nice tribute to do that.
Yeah, it was pretty, he was a cool guy. You know, just like I said, the standard come home, get married, raise a family kind of a guy. Yeah.
What did you learn from your dad what would you say that had a big influence on you about who you are today? Maybe a lesson he taught you? Or
you know, I wouldn't say that he actually taught me anything other than what I noticed from like just observing him, okay?
Yeah.
Because my dad...
He led by example then.
Yeah, because like my dad, you know, he lost his job, you know, back, you turn 50 and all of a sudden, you know, they don't want you anymore.
Yeah.
And how he handled that, I thought it was, you know, he started his own insurance agency after that and did mm-hmm. very well with that for mm-hmm. a while, you know, and just how he handled things, you know, I think just learn by observing.
And so now you've had to do that with a broadcast career. You're resilient. You reinvent yourself.
You have to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what music did your folks listen to when you were growing up? What do you remember?
Oh, we were talking about this. Sinatra. My dad loved Sinatra. He loved anything from that era. My dad was an awful singer. But he loved to sing, and so he would, you know, he'd sing My Way and stuff like that around the house. Yeah, we always had music in the house. I played an instrument. You know, I played a trumpet and was in the band, and I was always involved in music. And he was always encouraging, you know, music appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Except when I wanted to play drums, then all of a sudden they weren't so much into music appreciation. But eventually they let me get a set of drums. But but he was like Sinatra, Dean Martin, Rat Pack, all that sort of stuff.
You mentioned the horn.
Yeah.
Little Al Hurt, maybe?
As a matter of fact, my dad took me to see Al Hurt in concert. And I was like, probably one of the first concerts I ever saw was Al Hurt there in Columbus, Ohio. And we went backstage. I got him to autograph my program. And I think somewhere I still have it in my file somewhere, you know, the old autographed Al Hurt program.
Let's do an Al Hurt song.
I'd love that. I've heard that forever.
Yeah. Java?
Java.
Java. Let's do it. It's Tom Becka, our Boomer sit-in today on the Boomer Radio Network. We'll be right back. Java on the Boomer Radio Network. Tom Becca, our Boomer sit-in today. And you, first concert you went to, Albert.
My dad took me to see that, and I fell in love with New Orleans music then.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was Albert, big New Orleans guy in that, and I fell in love with that. Now, I was a lousy trumpet player. You know, I was in the band at Benson. I was third chair trumpet. And the only reason I was third chair trumpet is because there was no fourth chair trumpet. I mean, but I loved it. It was great. Yeah.
Do you play it all anymore?
Trumpet. No, I do play drums. I do play drums a little bit. Blue House and a few other bands will let me sit in from time to time.
Really distress a little bit. Yeah.
Don't play the trumpet anymore now.
Let's real quick. I want to talk about this this part of your life. This is interesting because we talked a little bit ago about reinventing ourselves as we sometimes have to do. And you just handed me your business card, Tom Becca Realtor.
Yeah, I do real estate now too. I do Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate, the Good Life Group. I started doing that about a year and a half ago or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm on Fox 42. Fox 42 is the real job, the day job, but with the real estate, there's a nice. I have no hobby, so it's a nice little hobby but that I can make some money at. But at the same time, as you well know, in this industry, you know, it's changing so much. And I don't see myself ever retiring. Mm-hmm. And I thought as with real estate, I could be doing other stuff.
Sure.
You know, I can still keep busy and keep active and help people when they're downsizing,
sure.
You know, and relate to mm-hmm. that. So, yeah, I've been doing that now for about a year and a half, and it's going really well.
I
enjoy it.
You got in at a good time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Actually, the problem is right now finding the properties. I got buyers.
I know it. Yeah.
I got buyers, but finding the right house.
Inventory is a little tight, as they say.
So if you're looking at a list, give me a call.
Yeah. Two tickets to Paradise. Eddie Money is on your song list. I want to know more about that. That's next. It is the Boomer Radio Network and Boomer Sit-In today with Tom Becca. It's Tom Becker, our Boomer sit-in today on the Boomer Radio Network, brought to you by Omaha's Water Store. Grew up in Cleveland for a time, and then Columbus, Ohio. Your dad was in the insurance business, started his own agency.
Then came here to work for physicians, and that's when we moved here in 72.
So that would have been about the time you were in just starting high school?
In high school, yeah. At Benson, 72.
You're a bunny.
I was a bunny. Which, by the way, when you leave town and you live other places and tell people that your mascot was a bunny, they think you're drunk and making stuff up. Yeah. Oh, really? We were bunnies. Yeah.
Yeah, the fearsome, mighty bunnies.
Beware of the hair.
That is pretty funny. When did you decide that broadcasting may be something that you'd like to do for a vocation?
Okay, so... Always enjoyed. I mean, I fell in love with radio, you know, back in the early 60s, the Beatles and everything, top 40.
What were you listening to? I mean, radio stations in Columbus?
In Cleveland, Ohio. I listened to WKYC, and I was listening to them, and they play in the Beatles and the Stones. And that's what I loved about that. One of the things I love about Boomer Radio is that back in that era, you know, you had the Beatles, but then you also had, you know, Dean Martin on the station, and you had Trini Lopez on the station, and then you'd have the Rolling Stones. I mean, you had such a variety, you know. And the same thing with TV back then. Ed Sullivan's show, you had the Beatles and the band. You had comedians, you had Topol Gigio, you had ballet dancers and whatever. Mm-hmm. So you got a variety of things, you know. I think now radio stations, for the most part, are so formatted, you know. But Boomer, at least you do play a wide variety of stuff from that era.
Yeah.
And back then, so I listened to a lot of radio back then. But the story is going to UNO, taking a mass communications class, knowing I want to be in broadcasting in some way.
So this wasn't high school. I mean, it wasn't in high school and you said, this is what I want to do.
Oh, no. I knew I wanted to be in communications. I knew I wanted to be in broadcasting. But with this voice, I couldn't be on the radio because, remember, back in that era especially, it was all, you know, another real deep voice, you know, Otis 12 voices talking about another 10, you know, Led Zeppelin songs in a row. And and with my voice, I knew that wasn't me. But I went up to the old Storrs Mansion at UNO where they had the radio station, and they had a little campus station that I could be on the air. So I just started doing that as a little hobby, you know, as I was going to school, and I just fell in love with it. I mean, I remember the first time I walked into that radio station, it was almost like, you know, just like the heavens opened up. It was like, this is where I belong. You know, I just felt so much at home in there. And and I've been lucky to, you know, been able to survive all these years and all the different...
Don't you just love the smell of it?
Oh, look, I'll tell you. I mean, I'm excited being in this room.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
it's the smell of the electronics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The energy. Energy at a radio station. I mean, they're very good to me at Fox 42, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing there, and I love those guys. But at the same time, there's something about a radio station.
And live radio.
Yeah, and live radio. And the contact that you have with your listeners, mm-hmm. you know, and the way that you all connect.
It's magic.
It's radio magic. Yeah. I have people come up to me now. It just happened this past weekend. A woman probably about in her early 30s somewhere, you know, and she was just telling me stories of her as a young girl in the car with her dad listening to me over at KFAB.
Yeah.
And it was just such an honor to be a part of a childhood memory, you know, and that I have with this. So I just love this. I love listening to the radio. I love being on the air. I love this part.
Have you ever had a gray-haired lady with grandkids in tow come up to you and say, I grew up listening to you?
Not that I would admit. Because right. In my mind, I'm still 35. So
two tickets to Paradise. Eddie Money is on your song list.
Yeah, no, this is cool. Okay, so I was working as a top 40 DJ over at KRCB. It was the station in Council Bluffs. KQ98 was the FM. That was the progressive rocker, and KRCB was this little daytime AM top 40 station. Anyway, so I'm over at KRCB working there. Eddie Money came to be on the air over at KQ98. Now, remember, this is like the mid-70s, different era in radio, mm-hmm, right? Mid-70s, mm-hmm. Probably maybe like 75 or so. And Eddie Money shows up at the radio station with his manager, the record rep, and himself, and they drive up in a limo, right? Mm-hmm. Eddie and his manager comes into the station to do the interview, and the manager takes the limo and one of the sales ladies and go for a ride, if you know what I mean. And, so they're riding all around. So Eddie's done with the interview. And there's no ride. There's no limo waiting for him. Because the record rep is still out, you know, partying with mm-hmm. the sales lady. So I, at the time, you know, starting out in radio, making no money, I'm driving this beat-up, lousy Honda. I mean, this thing, you know, and I had like, you know, fast food bags in the back seat, you know, just rusted car and all that stuff. And he needed a ride to get back to the Civic Auditorium for a sound check. So I drove Eddie and his manager from Council Bluffs to the Civic Auditorium. You know, here's this big rock star in this really lousy little car, you know, that barely could make it there. And I just remember when he got out, you know, he just said, yeah, I'm a big rock star. Yeah. You know? And the manager and him just sort of laughed and walked off. And that was my brush with greatness.
A brush with Eddie Money. It's a great story. Tom Becca, our Boomer sit-in today on the Boomer Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
Eddie Money, two tickets to Paradise on the Boomer Radio Network. And Tom Becca is our Boomer sit-in today. Great story, taking Eddie Money to his concert after an interview at a Council Bluffs radio station in your old beat-up, rusted-up Honda.
Oh, it was, yeah.
With food sacks in the back.
It was embarrassing in hindsight, but it was, yeah.
Okay, what other big stars have you had a chance to rub elbows with?
I've been blessed with that. I mean, a lot of them, in the music field, Tina Turner. Met her, Dr. Hook. I know we're going to play that a little bit later on.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I've had people that have come through, with my years in talk radio, people that I've been able to meet, politicians, presidential candidates. I mean, I've interviewed Donald Trump twice, interviewed Joe Biden. I was able to meet with.
We don't get into politics. I'm just kind of curious, though. Just big overall, big impression. What do you think of Donald Trump?
Guy's a hell of a showman. He was actually very, very gracious to me the first time when I first interviewed him. It was right about a month before he announced his candidacy.
Okay.
So it was a thing where it was basically, he was still that guy from the TV show, right? And he was actually very, very gracious, very nice. And then the second time I met him, he was doing a press conference on his airplane. He's flying into Council Bluffs, he flew into Epley. And going to do a press conference on his plane. And as I'm walking up the steps to his plane, he sees me, and I get that look like, okay, I think I know you from somewhere.
Right.
And I said, Mr. Trump, I'm Tom Becca. I interviewed you the last time you were in town. And in a normal situation, somebody would say, oh, that's right. I know you look familiar. Oh, that's right. Good to see you again.
Yeah.
So I said, I interviewed you the last time you were in town. He says, oh, that's right. You were very good to me.
That's what he remembers.
It was all about him. Yeah, it was all about him. Yes.
How about Joe Biden?
Joe Biden was just nice. It was more of a press conference sort of a thing. I asked a few questions.
Okay.
I got to see that. But I like the fact that that I can always, and I've been doing this now for a number of years. You get to see the candidates in Council Bluffs. You get to see them before they become too structured.
Yeah.
Before the handlers get to them too much,
Right.
And so you get to see them more in a setting where you get to see more as a personality.
Mm-hmm.
But again, people that I've been able to interview, Richard Simmons was one that comes to mind. He was a big showman. I mean, he was just came out there. David Crosby, interviewed him years ago. He was fascinating. Bob Hope. Now, I interviewed Bob Hope, unfortunately. It was just over the phone. The interview never aired because Bob at this point in time was late in his career and he just wasn't quite there, and I didn't want to embarrass him with that. But also interviewed Bob Newhart. Time for a quick story with Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart was on the phone and started the interview off by saying, well, he's going to be at Ameristar Casino, but he won't be able to get tickets because he's sold out. And Newhart goes, we're sold out? We're sold out. I go, well, yes, of course you're sold out. You're Bob Newhart. He goes, well, you never know. And
so
I thought at this point in time in Bob Newhart's career, if he's still that insecure, I was like, what chance have I got?
Tom Becca is our Boomer sit-in today on the Boomer Radio Network. We got to find out why he has on the cover of Rolling Stone and Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show on his song list. That's next. And today's sit-in is brought to you by Omaha's Water Store at 103rd and Fort. Boomer sit in today on the Boomer Radio Network with Tom Becca. Yep. Tom Becca. He's worked at a number of radio stations, TV stations on Fox 42 right now. You're on nightly.
Nightly. During the 9 o'clock news. Yeah.
Yeah. Do a little 2 minute little.
Yeah, little thing called Becca's Beat. Doing that, and that's going very well.
What's going on tonight?
What is tonight? Tonight is about Nebraska educators want to start teaching
The whole thing with the gender deal.
So we're going to be talking about that. Okay. So I got that all tonight. Right. Yeah. So yesterday was medical marijuana. So
on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Dr. Hook.
Yeah.
What is that all about?
Okay. So my first job in radio was in Green River, Wyoming. Right.
Oh, that's what. Okay. So you went to UNO, decided, hey, this is what I want to do. Did you graduate from UNO, or are you like most broadcasters, never made it to graduation?
The night before I was to register for my third year at UNO, I get the phone call from Green River saying, we got a job for you. And I thought, well, you go to school to get a job. I got a job.
You got a job? I'm out of here.
I'll always come back. I'll come back later. I'm going to. So for a whole $600 a month, loaded up the car and went out to a Green River, Wyoming, working at an AM country station. But it was like a modern country because they also played like Marshall Tucker and stuff like that. But so I worked out there in Green River, and Dr. Hook had a pickup date there. They had a few of the early hits there. They weren't as big as they wound up getting, but they had a few of the early hits. And they had a pickup date, like driving through, like, you know, they were maybe going to Denver from from Salt Lake, and they stopped in Green River and did a show. And so they had nothing else to do. They're in town. They had nothing else to do. We got them on the air to interview them. And
this is your first full-time radio gig.
My first full-time radio gig and my first full-time like real interview. Like, oh my you know, I'm not just talking to the mayor about latest parking problem, you know. I'm talking like to rock stars, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Hook is there, you know, with the eye patch and everything. And again, remember, this was in the 70s and they came in and, well, how do I put this delicately? They were stoned. they were in a good mood. They were in a very good mood. But they were the nicest guys. We just had a fun interview, and they just took over, you know. And it was a lot of fun. But I was just this little, you know, starting out in the business,
wide-eyed,
starstruck.
Yeah,
starstruck with Dr. Hook, and they put on a great show that night. It was fun. Yeah.
Did they do this song?
They did this song. Yes.
It's the cover of the Rolling Stone. It's Dr. Hook and the Medici Show. Boomer Sit-In today with Tom Becka on the Boomer Radio Network.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers, and we're loved everywhere we go. We sing about beauty, and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show. We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we've never known is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
Freaky old lady named a Cocaine Kitty who embroideries on my jeans. I got my poor old gray-haired daddy driving my limousine.
Now it's all designed to blow our minds, but our minds won't really be blown. Not the blows that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see our pictures on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for our mother?
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone? We got a lot of little teenage blue-eyed groupies. Do anything we say. We got a genuine Indian guru. He's teaching us a better way. We got all the friends that money can buy, so we never have to be alone. And we keep getting richer, but we can't get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
Was it like the end of that? Smiling man, you're out there smiling man.
That was sort of the attitude they had when they came into the studio to be interviewed. Man. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear they're true to who they, you know, their image there. That's Dr. Hook. It is a Boomer Sit-In today with Tom Becka. And Tom is, well, you've been around, man. That's a nice way of saying I can't hold a job.
Yeah.
You've been around.
I'm an old guy that's bounced around a lot.
So
yes.
From Green River, Wisconsin. That was your
first. Wyoming.
Oh, Green River, Wyoming. I'm sorry. I don't know how I got Wisconsin in there. Green River, Wyoming. Then where did you go? That was your first full-time radio gig.
Yeah.
And then
I worked in Greeley, Colorado for a while, and then I went down to Santa Fe, New Mexico. worked in Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Then I got into sales. I got into sales.
Because that's where the real money is.
Yeah, that's where the real money is. Yeah. And so, and again, you know, with this voice, I can't make a career in radio with this voice, right? Somebody once said that I sounded like a Pekingese in heat. that's not funny, Jack. That's not funny. That's hurtful. That's hurtful, Jack. So I got into sales. I did sales. And then while I was living in Albuquerque as a sales manager for a radio station, this is like the big comedy boom in the 80s. And I'm doing that, and I went to an open mic night.
Hmm.
And I saw some – I always wanted to do stand-up comedy. Talk about the Ed Sullivan Show back in the day.
Yeah.
I love the comics that were on there. But they were all like, you know, like New York Jewish comics, you know, like Shecky Green and that. Or they were like Bill Cosby or Joan Rivers, right? There were no comics that represented, you know,
common man,
middle America guys whose, you know, dad was an insurance salesman. There was no comics like that up there, right? So I didn't think I could do that. But during the comedy boom, I went to an open mic night and saw that some of these guys doing open mic were just awful. And I said, well, I can be that bad. So I went up on an open mic night one night, and I did okay. And the manager said, you're pretty good. Keep coming back. And so I did. And the next thing I know, I'm opening for – I got to open for Jerry Seinfeld. I got to open for the rock band Chicago. I got to open for – I mean, I went on the road and just started doing comedy. And spent 5 years on the road doing that. And
that's such a glamorous life.
Oh yeah, life on the road. Oh, it's glamorous. Yeah, you don't know glamour until you've done a one night stand in Eufaula, Alabama. I'm telling you, that's when you know. And, you know when you tell your first joke in the back of the room, they yell, "You're a Yankee." Oh yeah.
Who's your favorite comic?
Oh, my favorite. I don't have a favorite anything, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think that life is a smorgasbord, you know, and so you experience a lot of it. I mean, obviously, Seinfeld is one that I really like. I really respect him. Going old school, the old Bill Cosby albums, I used to listen to those a lot as a kid growing up. Listen to Cheech and Chong a lot as a kid growing up. I remember one time my sister, I got the first Cheech and Chong album. And my sister was a year younger than me, and she wanted to get me in trouble. So she told my dad, "Dad, Tom's got a dirty album, you know, because Cheech and Chong, you know." So my father, I might have been like a freshman in high school at the time, right? So my dad says, "Tom, I hear you have this dirty album." I said, "That's not dirty, Dad." "I want to hear it." So we sat there in my room. And we listened together to the Cheech and Chong album. And if you remember the first album, you know, I mean, there was, you know, all the stuff, you know, Dave's Not Here and the one with the Pope and all of that, right? And we listened to all of that. And I'll just never forget the look on my dad's face as he looked at me and says, "You think this stuff is funny?" And I go, "Yeah, I kind of do." And he said, "Okay," and he walked out the room.
is that a look that you saw from your audiences sometimes when you were doing your stand-up comedy stick? People look at you and you think, "Oh my God, that's my dad's face looking back at me." You think that's funny?
It was funny in my head when I said it. Well, that's the thing about comedy. First of all, comedy is such a fragile thing.
Yeah, and
I love it because, I never could have done the talk radio if I hadn't spent 5 years on the road doing the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you learn how to really connect with an audience, and you learn how to think on your feet.
Yeah, that's a key there.
But you never know, because a joke that really works well one night will completely bomb the next night,
mm-hmm.
you know, or vice versa. And so until you really get it honed, you never really know.
Yeah.
And I always love that challenge. Yeah.
It's a Boomer Sit-In today with Tom Becca on the Boomer Radio Network. Coming up next, he's the only real man I know that's come in and done a Boomer Sit-In that has Henry Gross and Shannon on his list.
What are you implying here? Wait a minute.
We'll find out why. Our Boomer Sit-In today brought to you by Omaha's Water Store, 103rd and Fort. It's the Boomer Radio Network, and Tom Becca is our Boomer Sit-In today, and the only... this song has never come up. I don't think it's even with women, this song has never come up on the song list.
I didn't know it was a gender-specific song.
It's just kind of a soft song and one of those that tugs at your heartstrings. And
how can you not love a one-hit wonder about a drowning dog? How can you not love that?
Well, you put it that way.
You know, I mean,
if you put it that way.
You know, here's the reason why I picked this song. So when I'm in college at UNO, I was also working part-time at KEZO at the time, which was a beautiful music station.
Yes.
Right, I changed the tapes on the beautiful music station. And then I played God Sunday mornings on WOW.
Uh-huh.
And when I say play God, it's because I ran the religious show tapes,
sure,
right?
Yeah,
so I did that. But there was one time, and Tom Barsani was the program director, you know, told me, you know, get out of radio. With that voice, get out of radio, right? And I saw that a number of times. But there's one time he had no choice. He had to put me on the air, like from 4 to 5 in the morning, you know, Saturday night to Sunday morning, right? So I'm on then, and this was right after the tornadoes had hit.
Mm.
And I'm all set for my big chance, top 40, WOW, top 40. And I'm all set for my big chance on that. And right about the time I go on the air, the civil defense sirens go off accidentally. Nothing is going on. So my one big shot at being a top 40 DJ on WOW is me spending the whole time saying, go back to sleep. There's no tornado. Everything is fine. Go back to sleep. Here's Henry Gross and Shannon on 59 WOW. That was the whole show was that, me just talking about no tornadoes. Don't worry about it. Go back. And now let me see if I can hit the riff here, if I can remember that.
Yeah.
This is Tom Becker filling in along with Jack on Boomer.
Another day's at end. Mama says she's tired again. No one can even begin to tell her. I hardly know what to say, but maybe it's better that way. If Papa were here, I'm sure he'd tell her.
Gross from the album Show Me to the Stage, and Shannon about Brian Wilson's drowning dog. And that was fun. I always love that, talking up the riff, you know, Top 40 radio.
Right. When you talk, up the ramp, you talk up the ramp and hit the post. And,
yes. Yeah. Always end with the call letters, you know.
Did that well. You hit it. Nailed it.
I like that.
Quite impressed. Yeah,
Terry Mason taught me well.
Yeah. The late Terry Mason. Well, he was a very positive influence on a lot of young broadcasters.
He and I were good friends in college, and he helped me out an awful lot.
I always appreciated Terry. So when did you decide you wanted to do talk radio? You were talking about doing top 40 stuff. That's a leap.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I was doing comedy for 5 years, right? On the road, and as I'm driving all around the country, I'm going from town to town, listening to a lot of talk radio. And this was the time that also, the comedy boom was starting to fade out a little bit. You know, a lot of these comedy clubs realized they could do karaoke cheaper. So, comedy clubs were starting to die down a little bit. And I realized I was getting to be maybe 35 or so at the time. And I just realized, well, I got to, settle down. I got to figure something out here. And I had one of two choices. I thought I could either go out to L.A. and try to be the starving artist thing, because with this voice and this body, I figured, maybe I could get a part as being, the wacky neighbor or the coworker, or something like that in a sitcom, or maybe do some commercial work. Or I could go back to Omaha and, try to talk my way into getting a job into talk radio. And I fell in love listening to talk radio all this time while on the road. And basically, I came back home here and I talked myself into a job over at KFAB. Just by, they gave me an on-air audition and had a chance to...
So that was before Kansas City?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was at KFAB for, maybe 5 or 6 years. Okay, so I wanted to do talk radio, but they didn't have really a slot for me in talk radio, but they did have an opening to be the sidekick to Kevin Cooper over on KGOR.
Right.
So Kevin and I did a show together for about a year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jerry Hudson went on vacation for 3 weeks, and I filled in for him for 3 weeks and over on KFAB doing the talk radio. And the program director there at the time, after the 3 weeks, realized that they liked me on the air more than they liked Jerry. So I learned a very valuable lesson, and I have never taken a 3-week vacation. So that's how I got into doing talk radio. And I did KFAB for a number of years, and then Kansas City called, and I went down there for 5 years. But when I was down in Kansas City, this is about the time that Omaha was really starting to expand. It was, mm-hmm. You had the time that the Quest Center was being built, and you had, all this new vitality that was going on up in Omaha, and I missed it.
Yeah.
And I was able to, my parents were getting old, so I was able to come back up and, spend some time and be with them towards the end. And so I came back up to Omaha, and I was at KFAB then for about another 8 or 9 years before, mm-hmm. Things went south there.
Yeah.
Wow. So very proud of the time I spent over there, mm-hmm. and the history of that station. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you want to come back and do, music radio again.
I would love to do like a weekend shift here or something sometime.
Well,
you go on vacation, and I'll fill in for you sometime.
Vacation. You taught me a lesson. Never go on vacation. Never go on vacation. Oh, Tom, the hour is up. We're down to your last song.
Okay.
You pick a song here. Which one do you want to wrap up with?
Let's go with the rock number. Let's go after we have the mellow one. You want to do Funk 49?
Ah, I love that.
Okay, so.
James Gang.
Grew up in Ohio, and the James Gang was an Ohio band. Mm-hmm. Joe Walsh and them, I believe Kent State, went to Kent State. And I just remember going to the Ohio State Fair where they played. And I might have been a freshman in high school, mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that energy you have at that age, and you're going to see a rock band, out of the Ohio State Fair. It was a hot summer night, and they got up there and just rocked, and it was just that youthful exuberance. And this song has always been one that I just loved, This and Walk Away. This guitar riff is amazing.
It's amazing,
hey,
isn't it?
Jack, thank you very much for letting me do this. I loved it. Thank you, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for coming in. Tom Becca today, our boomer sit-in. And, hey, you keep booming, my friend.
And every day.
I'll sleep all day. I'll jump in.